everyone, and welcome back to another episode here at the Damage Report. I'm John Adderall, and I've got two bits of good news for you. The first is that I just learned from the Twitch chat that Whoopi Goldberg is going to appear in the second season of Picard. That's exciting. I love Guinan. The other lesser bit of good news is that we're joined once again by Brett Ehrlich. Brett, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me and John in our uniforms.
Brett, you didn't wear the glasses. So we are not the sort of friends that would like put one of these on to dress the same. But if we happen to both be wearing them, oh my God, the glasses. Wait, hold on. No, you got off.
Hi.
No, that's okay. His beard is more significant than mine, so it's not a perfect match, but we're working on it, people. How's it going, Brett?
It's all right. It just reveals how much taller my face is than yours.
Do you have
we have two different shapes. Here's we're Bert and Ernie over here.
Oh my God, we do look too similar.
We got like a circle.
Oh my God. Do you know? I still get occasional comments that I thought, like I saw a comment once. It was like, for 2 years, I thought Brett was John when he was high. Which is too good. Too good.
Wifey was like, you look like Japanese schoolgirls at Disneyland where they like go out dressed the same. This is like our group. Like that's a thing that happens.
Yeah.
That's exactly how John and I are like. All right, what do we ride next?
Should do that. Anyway, I guess. So before the show, you don't know this, Brett made a joke about let's just not do the news today. And I think we're not. I think we're just not doing the news. But anyway, thank you for joining us on this morning political analysis and commentary show. Brett Ehrlich and I are going to go through a lot of important news, including the update on the Amazon unionization effort in Alabama, the death of Prince Philip, updates on Matt Gaetz, new gun uncontrol legislation, as well as a Republican senator doing the right thing. Is that a picture of Honey Boo Boo on your phone?
This is what comes up on my phone when Brooke Thomas calls me.
Why? Wait, why is Brooke Thomas calling you right now? And why is Honey Boo Boo the photo?
We had a whole bit that we were gonna do, but she can't do it. Okay. Anyways.
Honey Boo Boo or Brooke?
Brooke Thomas.
Okay, good, because
just forgot that Honey Boo Boo comes up when she calls.
That's the weirdest thing. Anyway, and finally, you're not gonna want to miss the end of the show, and we will give our garbage people the week. Mine has apparently been spoiled by Brett, but it is a truly massive piece of garbage, so that's certainly gonna be fun. As we do that, please hit the like button and share the stream so that more people know that the stream is live. And as we go through this, you can send us questions, tweets, comments, super chats, all of that. And we will respond to your concerns and your questions. With that said, Brett, ready to do this thing?
Yes.
Apparently, Yeetwood Mac is wearing the exact same clothing too. So it has become the unofficial uniform. Although in terms of Damage Report uniforms, we do have an update coming soon of an awesome shirt. So stay tuned for that. But that said, let's jump into this thing. We've been waiting all week to find out what is going to happen with the attempt to form a union in Bessemer in Alabama. And regrettably, workers at the warehouse voted 1,798 to 738 against the effort, labor officials said. That represents a majority of votes cast, though some ballots have been challenged and have yet to be counted. The union said it would challenge the results. So yes, there's still some outstanding, and it was a very slow vote counting process. Trump was very frustrated by how slow it was. But it doesn't appear that what's outstanding or that is about to be challenged is likely to overturn the results. So I have thoughts, but Brett, what do you think about this? I know it's sort of breaking news right now.
It's very difficult to really appraise. This is just an example of what like the news cycle does to people. Essentially, I had such high expectations for this working out correctly.
Yeah,
that they would, you know, for me personally, when it comes to unionization, my approach is, you know, just like anything, you have to look at what would benefit people, what would negatively affect their lives. I just feel like in the situation that we all continue to learn about with Amazon and the conditions of their employees, combined with like the weird lie messaging of management at that company, the weird, wobbly, strange, unwieldy Amazon News with a blue checkmark Twitter handle that's pretending that they didn't need a ton of pressure to get to $15 an hour from Bernie Sanders and Ro Khanna. And combine it with like the, you know, this is when we think of industrial revolution, we think about workers' movements, we think about big factories where people are peeing in bottles and pooping in bags. And that is the kind of thing that you definitely need union pressure at giant companies like that to countervail, to give people that that advocacy. And it's also strange. I understand when you look around at like Jeff Bezos and how he seems to be positioning the company. He says he's fine with a higher tax rate. But when it comes to unionization, it seems like that's the thing that he's really afraid of. I'm not in his mind, but this just seemed like it would be the ideal place for something like that. And it's weird that, and it's just last point is that it's weird that at this, it's been so long since unions had like power and were considered to be an indispensable part of the workforce. That like, it's weird that this isn't a no-brainer.
Yeah, especially in this particular case with the news. It's one of the, it's perhaps an example of how we try not to be in a bubble in the same way that other people are, but we're still in a bubble. We have expectations, you know, and we're so used to the American people largely agreeing with our positions on things that you sort of expect that that's how it's gonna play out in specific cases where there could be more variance, especially with the amount of pressure that was being put on employees by Amazon. But look, I don't wanna repeat everything that I said in the pre-show. If you're interested in my like extended thoughts about the labor movement, I talked at some length in the pre-show today. That video is available on YouTube right now. But I will say, like, there is Amazon and all of what it did to try to pressure its employees, the probably, I think, very reasonable fear that many employees might have had that if they unionized, the entire place could get shut down or something like that. We've seen instances of that in the recent history. But also, a lot of people grew up being told that unions are the worst and that they won't actually protect you. There has been decades of propaganda for a reason. It's to produce a workforce that doesn't want its own representation. So I don't know where the causality breaks down in terms of what is due to pressure, what is due to the employees, I don't know, having a better impression of their workplace than the you know, sort of standout cases that we obviously focus on. That said, it is gonna be challenged. I know some people are saying, I don't trust it because it was managed by Amazon. It was, and look, I'm sure journalists will be looking into it, but these sorts of things are, they're not done totally by Amazon behind closed doors. I would say if you wanna have an issue with this, the lead up to it, the vote is probably where that should lie rather than the idea that they just invented 1,000 votes. Like I don't wanna be every movement can't acknowledge when it loses things. So let's not be that if we can avoid that. That said, this isn't the end, and the leaders of the union unionization attempt say that, look, even getting the vote when it comes to Amazon is a huge thing. This is hardly gonna be the last time either there or at other Amazon plants in other parts of the country. So it would have been great to win on this first one, but it's not required. And that doesn't mean that the fight isn't worth having.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of On the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity, the UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
A couple of very high profile deaths earlier today, including singer DMX passing this morning and Prince Philip. That one was earlier today. The Duke of Edinburgh, husband of Queen Elizabeth II, father of Prince Charles and patriarch of a turbulent royal family that he sought to ensure would not be Britain's last. That's how he's being described by the news. And I'm reading that because I follow the royal family to such a small extent that I couldn't have even given his proper titles. That said, he passed away at 99, apparently peacefully. Obviously, you know, regardless of what you think about the royal family in general terms or specifically what they've been up to over the past few years, it's obviously sad for that family. And for whatever reason, it is obviously going to be very hard on a lot of people in the UK who take this very seriously. So, you know, almost every death is a tragedy. I'm not going to say every death, but almost everyone, including this one, very sad. I'm holding out for a few, so let's just put it out there for the next few years. But anyway, Brett, thoughts?
I mean, he's 99. He got to see the seasons of The Crown about him. So I don't know what more he could want out of life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I feel like he had a good full life.
Like, let's probably compare that.
A pretty easy one, I would say, probably considering the wealth. So
well,
we
John,
should all be so lucky.
If you watched every season of The Crown, you know, you'll realize it wasn't always puppy dogs and ice cream for him. It wasn't always roses, John. It's not easy to be the king or queen, the non-king of England. The don't you dare call him a king of England. It's not that easy.
I can only make so many mistakes. So people are taking issue with me referring to DMX as a singer. Look, he does music with his voice. That's
John
what
doesn't
I mean.
Do music.
I understand he doesn't.
John,
sing.
You're really,
and
you're
I
really
actually like DMX
this.
More than most musicians. But anyway,
you're really handling this sad death news really well, John. You're really nailing.
Well, I'm getting heckled by the audience right now. This is one of the downsides of having chat open. But look, obviously it is sad. It is, you know, the royal family has had a lot of stuff in the news recently. It has not been a great period for them. I generally, aside from, you know, not wanting needless death, something I'm fairly consistent on, a lot of the negative news I feel like they brought on themselves. That said, I'm sure they have very close feelings towards this individual. So let's just put that out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one of those things where with DMX, it is very sad. I know this story is about Prince Philip. And yeah, when we compare his experience to that of other, you know, people who have lived in Buckingham Palace in that level of power, like other ones were murdered for the crown. Others had to, you know, existed in a time when it was more than just a ceremonial head of state kind of job. So he lived to be 99. Went through some crazy stuff, witnessed some crazy stuff. In terms of reigns, this is a historically long one for him and his wife.
Yes. Yeah. I'm seeing a comment from Jay Hitchcock. Remind me not to have John do my eulogy. What do you want? You want me to be real and authentic? I don't have a lot to say about Prince Philip specifically. I just don't about any member of the royal family. I'm not going to pretend. I would say there have been eulogies in the past that I think it did a pretty good job. So feel free to check the archives.
How do you feel about people who, you know, for lack of a better term, really live and die? First of all, do you believe that people in America actually care that much?
Yes, and I believe that many do.
So what do you think it is about the royal family that gets people to care this much, John?
I think that almost any group of people that become famous because their lives are dissected are going to accrue some people. And their lives are dramatic enough that you become invested in high profile, glossy weddings, you know, divorces, betrayals. It is effectively a reality show, but it's actually a little bit more real kind of. I can see that. I don't personally find it interesting in the same way that I don't find families like the Kardashians interesting, but I don't 100% not get it or think that it's totally a waste of time. They are big, rich, powerful people. That is going to draw some interest. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never can wrap my mind around it. I think it's like folks always liked lifestyles of the rich and famous. Totally. They like big, expensive things. Royalty is baked into the way that we condition our young. Like Disney is the world that we use to form our children's minds through story and culture. And there is a castle in the logo. And
that's true.
The version, you know, and I think it's interesting to explore the American dream as it relates to like Cinderella. And Cinderella really seems like an easier route than having, you know, what we bang people over the head with, which is like, no, if you just work hard enough, you'll have that castle and you'll buy it on realtor.com. In this situation, I think that's it. And especially with Meghan kind of revitalizing it, the first glimpse we had was Princess Di kind of getting in there, even though she did like live in a palace before.
Sure.
But with Meghan Markle now, it's like, no, it really is. She really is a Disney princess who got there. I just can't, I can also, so I can't identify with that instinct, nor can I identify with people who would ever leave it.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I think, look, how do you become royalty in Disney a long time ago? You Sleeping Beauty or Cinderella, or you rub a lamp. It's this sort of miraculous thing that just sort of happens to you. More recently, how do you become? Well, like Moana worked for it. She like got on a boat and she went on an adventure and she actually like that. I'm just saying, I think that culturally, I think it's shifting a little bit. That said, I'm gonna lose Sophie even more soon. So we're gonna move on to our next aspect of this. Look, you want us to be invested in this. This is how Brett and I are invested in this. This morning it was announced obviously that Prince Philip has passed away. He was 99 years old, so it is not difficult to imagine how that came to be. But that's also not as dramatic as some people might want it to be. And they might come up with some more exciting idea of why it is that he passed or how he passed. So let's go now to Fox and Friends, who is gonna try to milk this death for all it's worth.
They also, you know, married 73 years, was pretty amazing. And also, if you factor in this, there are reports that he was enraged after the interview and the fallout from the interview with Oprah Winfrey. So here he is trying to recover, and then he gets hit with that. He also was reportedly very transparent about his distaste for Fergie when she was married to Prince
Andrew.
For a while, she was a little bit different for the royal family's taste, I guess. So, at 99 years old, he passed away.
What the hell is wrong with you? What, Brett? What the f? Here he is trying to recover. No, no, he was 99. That was it. It's sad, but that it wasn't like he was about to start golfing again and then he saw Meghan Markle on an interview. I don't think he was processing the news. He was 99 years old. So it's not only really stupid, but man, you can't go a day without getting a few more hits into Meghan Markle. It's not enough that Meghan Markle like killed the illusion of royalty, or that she ended Piers Morgan's career, even though he totally did that himself. She also killed Prince Philip. That's fun. That's fun, Brett.
It's just like, when I have nothing to say about something, I'll say, I have nothing to say about this. When Kilmeade has nothing to say, he's like, what lazy thing can I connect this to that we've been talking about recently? Do we honestly believe, in truth, do we honestly believe that like anyone gives a crap, like that he gives a crap about Prince Philip? No, he is just really trying to make this case.
Yeah.
Did it make it, did it add stress to him? Who knows? Like how there was he before this all went down? And nobody, I don't know, and Kilmeade certainly doesn't either.
Yeah, and look, I would say, I want everyone to feel free to rewind and watch that bit of Kilmeade again. When you criticized earlier, when we were trying to figure out what to say about this story, because it can be worse than theories about Disney princesses, can't it? Can't it? The Meghan Markle stuff is worse than the Moana stuff. But anyway, that the way we're talking about it makes it seem as if Kilmeade was vamping, I guess, which becomes a little bit harder to believe when he doubles down on it later on. Watch.
Yeah, I mean, just think about this. This one thing that Piers Morgan was saying on his morning show, which he famously walked off of, is like, really? He's in the hospital. Your grandfather's in the hospital. You know he's not doing well. Mm-hmm. Is this really the time you have to put out this this interview? And evidently, it definitely added to his stress.
He was in the hospital at the time, so he died at Windsor Castle, so they allowed him to go home.
Yeah.
It added to his stress. Stress was like number 1,000 on his list of problems at 99 years old. Like that's not the thing. And the idea that she was wrong to do this interview so long as Philip was alive, because Philip was old and might die, and thus you can't do the interview. What a cheap get out of her being a person card he's trying to play there.
Listen, I find it so, like, as difficult as they made it seem that it was for our dear friend Meghan and Harry, mm-hmm. you're still a prince and a princess. Like, I find it really difficult to feel bad for you. And I know all the stuff, the horrible stuff that they said and did to her. I'm just saying, on the balance of me giving a rip, like,
There's
a lot on both sides of that scale. There's a lot on both sides of that scale. And so it tilts me being like, that does sound harder than it would be. But in terms of adding to the stress of frickin' Prince Philip, guy was essentially the king of England. what stress feels like. Oh, I shall die now. Like, is that what it is? Like, for the first time? If it killed Piers Morgan, yes. If Piers Morgan died from the stress of it, I'd be like, oh yeah. I mean, a lot of that was him bringing it to the table, but like,
when he famously walked off the set, I could do that. I could do that right now. I could walk off. Why is it famous? Because you guys are pretending that he had to rather than chose to because of some job he'd already lined up. And I don't know. Anyway, it's so lazy. It's so lazy to modify something I saw on YouTube. Prince Philip, it wasn't stress. He had 99 problems and they were each a year. That's the problem. Then when you combine all of those years, I'm not gonna make it to 50, man. 99 is a long time. Anyway, that's the whole thing. Like, it must have killed Prince Philip in his final days to see these, you know, books about sneeches being so maligned. No, not everything gets to be whatever culture war thing you want it to be. And he loved Aunt Jemima's syrup, and then they took it from him. No, it's not all the way you want.
It's so crazy. And then to look at this all coming from Fox News, like the weird positions they've contorted themselves into to make all this stuff. Like Fox News, America, right? The pro-America freedom, guns, no law, you know. Rule of law, but like freedom of the individual is freedom of speech, all that stuff. Now back on the side of the monarchy.
Yeah.
Like you realize that's insane. Oh, Fox News, now Republicans are the party of the people. And now we're gonna take the side of not an American. We're gonna take a side of the King of England, basically. Mm-hmm. Like you gotta look at the weird twister position you're in, because you're gonna fall on the next round.
Yeah, I mean, look, as many people have pointed out, all of these right wing commentators would be royalists if we were back, back in those days. Like just every one of them. Come on, stop pretending. More bad news for Matt Gaetz coming out of the Daily Beast last night. They looked into his Venmo transactions, which. And I can't stress this enough, he had public as a congressman. I'm realizing right now I should probably make mine private, but I'll do that as soon as the show is done. Anyway, for right now, what you need to know is that in two late night Venmo transactions in May of 2018, Representative Matt Gaetz sent his friend, the accused sex trafficker Joel Greenberg, $900. The next morning, over the course of 8 minutes, Greenberg used the same app to send three young women varying sums of money. In total, the transactions amounted to $900. Now that by itself has like six different sketchy, suspicious things, but it gets worse. The memo field for the first of Gaetz's transactions to Greenberg was titled Test. And the second, the Florida GOP congressman wrote, "Hit up blank." But instead of a blank, Gates wrote a nickname for one of the recipients. When Greenberg then made his Venmo payments to these three young women, he described the money as being for tuition, school, and school. And all of that is like what I would do in the first pass on a screenplay about congressional corruption. I would make it better because that's too on the nose. But yeah, Brett, this isn't helping Matt Gaetz's case. Those are pretty clear. They're pretty clear about every bit of what was going on right there.
The ingredients in this are so great because it takes a certain level of hubris and inexperience with being held responsible for any kind of hypocrisy or like bad behavior in your entire life. Like Matt Gaetz's dad was a high ranking political figure in that same area. This is the reason that Matt Gaetz is in Congress despite, and this is his daddy helped him with everything along the way. So he is, you know, as much as he pretends to be party of the people, this guy has the coke dripping out of his nose, like the coke smoke puffing out of his face is worth more in dollars than all the people he pretends to give a crap about. Yeah. Like that's it. I'm not saying he does coke. I'm saying I know he's done tons of coke.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of politicians that don't really care about their constituents, but I think some are better at pretending. And look, I think he's effective enough at convincing MAGA heads that he's in favor of them because their standard for who has their back is very performative and very shallow. That said, he doesn't care. That's why when we found out that he was thinking about stopping being a congressman to either run for a higher office or work for Newsmax, whichever. No, you don't have all of those different choices because of your deep commitment to the people. You have a deep commitment to yourself and what you think will give you a higher profile. That's what you have.
And
anyway,
and
let's run through.
It shows that it's the performative aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, the other side of that same coin is, so it proves that you don't care about the people, but it proves that you consider being a news actor the same exact thing as being a congressperson.
Yeah,
you never even considered that it would be about doing anything legislative to help anyone. Always wanted it. You're admitting that you're an actor.
For him, what was he as a congressman? He went on Fox News and Newsmax. He occasionally wore a gas mask on the House floor. He treated it exactly as if he was, you know, Jesse Waters or whatever. That said, I want to give you a few more details from the Daily Beast story. Greenberg and Gates are also connected on Venmo to at least one other woman that Greenberg paid with taxpayer funds using a government issued credit card. Seminole County auditors flagged hundreds of those payments as questioned or unaccounted for, and in total found more than $300,000 in suspicious or unjustified expenses. Now, that is mainly about Greenberg. The fact that they're both connected to this woman is what brings Gates in. But Greenberg, we know, has a ton of problems, seemingly far worse than Gates, certainly in scale, if not in, you know, overall character or whatever. And by the way, at least what's being revealed here, unless it's confirmed that one of those women is underage, which I haven't specifically seen that yet. There are allegations about underage women. I don't know about in this particular case. These are the sorts of things that hypothetically could be legal. They're not right now. Philosophically, I feel like in some sort of regulated sense, they should be, but they're not. And he's a congressman and he is using an intermediary to break the law. All of this is so dirty, combined with the hand surgeon potentially pushing for legislation, using escorts to get influence with him. This is exactly what congressmen are not supposed to be doing, allowing themselves to be so, look, let's keep it real, cheaply bought, $900. Matt Gaetz is rich. And this is the sort of thing that plausibly could be getting influence over him from multiple individuals. So anyway, a lot of people looking at this, accountants who are doing an audit for the county, are saying the arrogance of these guys, they just felt that they were above the law. I've never seen it this bad. I should acknowledge that, look, put some respect on the guy's name. He's not just a hand surgeon, he's a marijuana entrepreneur. That's true, and that's really where the trouble comes from. But anyway, lots of problems. And for Matt Gaetz, it's, this is a guy who is every bit as arrogant and titled As We Have Said, and it is going to come back to bite him because he either wasn't smart enough to know to cover his tracks better, or didn't feel like he needed to cover his tracks better for him to so publicly and obviously do this on Venmo.
There's a new ad out that just goes through. It's called yesterday on Twitter, Republican pedo gate or whatever it was trending, like GOP pedos. And that's pedo ring. And that was it. You don't realize that the tracing back many, many, as much as QAnon says it's all Democrats, like the ones we can prove are all Republican.
Weird.
That are doing this weird pages and sex, you know, and not molesting, but also like sexually harassing minors, doing terrible things to kids, and there's a paper trail. And they're so stupid about it. That's the thing. It's like, do you think, like, you're giving too much credit to politicians if you think they can hide it in some kind of code? This guy's like, hit up girl. And then the money goes public on Venmo, and that same amount of money goes to the girls that they're talking about.
Say that it's for tuition specifically is just such a cliche. Like, it might even be true in this case, but it's also a TV cliche for this.
Because I taught her a thing or two. Like, gross. And about that. Like, Stay Puffed Matt Gaetz is just like, I'm gonna go hit up girls and buy them.
Yeah, and then that was what he was using his time for.
So bad.
Look, and the only other thing I want to add is that some of the journalists behind that story for the Daily Beast have said there's more coming. They put that out immediately after that story. This is not the last thing. They are continuing to work on this. So look, it's not looking good. Matt Gaetz had another aide step down as legislative director is out. He said he worked for Matt Gaetz to write legislation, not to work for TMZ. And I get the second part, but like, you don't go to work for Matt Gaetz to write legislation. That's not at all true. And also, you have the billboard in his district of saying he wants to date your daughter or something. That's not going to help him. It's just a lot of bad stuff for Matt Gaetz. It's not looking great for him. Adam Kinzinger is asking for him to resign. That doesn't necessarily count for much in the modern day GOP, but you do have an actual Republican congressman saying he should resign. So it's just all a lot in one day.
And people in the TYT network are offering some pretty interesting opinions. First, Farron Cousins from Ring of Fire is from that district, and he's like, this place is ruby red. So in terms of people running interference and defending Matt Gaetz, they don't need Matt Gaetz to have that position to keep it a Republican position.
True.
So he says that's why folks aren't like throwing themselves in front of the bus, besides like Jim Jordan. And we can all say, like, when it comes to, you know, trying to cover up and dig your claws into the dais in the halls of Congress as people are trying to pull you out because of you being complicit in some kind of really pervy, horrible sex crime stuff.
Yeah.
Those are the only ones defending him. But then we had Ryan Grimm on there who said, like, unless he's convicted, there's nothing that's gonna have him leave. And then also he's kind of more of a hero in this area of the panhandle because he's doing all that stuff that that Trump, you know, Matt Gaetz is nowhere near as skilled at being in front of a camera as Donald Trump is, and nowhere near as charismatic in all those horrible, terrible, no good, very bad ways. But folks are like, yeah, go get him,
exactly.
Get some.
Yeah, Trump has normalized a lot, and this sort of behavior is exactly one of the things that's been normalized.
And final point is, on Fox News, as all of this is happening, as Venmogate is happening, Fox News is going and showing, like, hey, look at this stuff from Tucker or from Joe Biden's kid and like a sex thing we found on his laptop. And so they're showing that, which is essentially an analog, missing one in very important thing is that Hunter Biden is not a sitting congressman.
Well, that's the first of two very important aspects. The other is that I don't even think they're alleging that anything illegal was done with Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
He filmed a sex tape. He's not a politician. And that was the night of this big story. Tucker Carlson is such a tiny little weenie. That's all he is. We have had multiple high profile mass shootings in America, and we've been waiting to find out what is going to be done about it. Well, something was done, just not something designed to stop them from happening. Take a look at what Tennessee's been up to, with Governor Bill Lee tweeting, "I signed constitutional carry today because it shouldn't be hard for law-abiding Tennesseans to exercise their Second Amendment rights." Yeah, I'm sure it's really difficult in Tennessee, by the way. Super difficult to get and carry a gun. Anyway, here's the issue. We're gonna give you the details on what that bill does. But as we get into the details, I want you to bear in mind that what the right has lately been saying after mass shootings, originally it was always just thoughts and prayers, but that's become sort of a joke and they sort of get that. So now it's not about the guns, it's about the mental illness. Saying effectively, we just need to make sure that the wrong sort of people don't get guns. So then that's a weird thing to say as a party, and then make it so that under the new law, adults 21 and older and military members between 18 and 20 will be allowed to open and concealed carry handguns without a permit and without first clearing a background check. So we're specifically gonna make it so that we're not looking into you at all. We don't know why you might be getting the gun. We're not gonna slow you down in getting that gun. We don't know anything about your predisposition or past history of violence. Just have some guns. Oh, and training. Remember what the NRA was originally about for like 100 years, supposedly, was responsible gun ownership? The training's out too. So we're not looking into your background. You're not gonna have to actually demonstrate that you know what you're doing. So worst case scenario, you give a gun to someone who's gonna go and immediately commit a mass shooting with it. Best case scenario, I guess, is more people accidentally shooting their off in Home Depot because they're not gonna know how to actually use their gun. All of this is fundamentally irresponsible and cuts against all of what the Republican Party nationally has been saying about mass shootings recently, but they're pitching it as some sort of big win. Look at how great it is to be in Tennessee right now.
I love this statement from Bill Lee that he tweeted, because it shouldn't be hard for law-abiding Tennesseans to exercise their Second Amendment rights. That said, we're not gonna check to see if they're law-abiding Tennesseans. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. That's what we're gonna do. And isn't that more fun? I love this idea that we're still Deadwood. Like, that's it. That is the mentality that they're trying to feed into, but only as a marketing ploy to sell more guns. That's all it's about. Aishwarya Nagchowdhury is our associate producer on Main Show, and she used to live in Tennessee for a little bit. And she said, it is crazy how easy it is to own a gun. So let's say you don't pass your background check or whatever, but and you want my gun. She's like, you basically just have to write a note saying, Sally's got my gun now, and now it's their gun. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to jump ahead to, we have his statement, I believe. Asked about whether recent mass shootings in Georgia, Colorado, and others gave him any concern about timing, Lee has previously said the increased penalties, for instance, if you steal a gun, you get a higher sentence now, mean that, quote, we in fact will be strengthening laws that would help prevent gun crimes in the future. That is so insultingly stupid. So first of all, you can just go and buy one much more easily now and go commit a mass shooting. So you can do that. It literally doesn't do anything to stop that. And let's say the one area they want to talk about is if you steal a gun. So yes, this helps to fight mass shootings if you steal a gun to, I don't know, someday commit a mass shooting. But if you steal a gun and go commit the mass shooting, you've already committed crimes. We don't need extra penalties for the theft. That's sort of not the worst thing you've been up to recently after you shot a bunch of people. So in every possible conceivable instance, this has nothing to do with mass shootings, except that the other components of the bill that aren't about the increased sentencing will make it easier to commit them if you're predisposed to do so.
I don't even know what to do with any of these laws, these stories anymore. Because and part of it comes down to the Second Amendment being crazy. Like, it is crazy in every sense of the word. The like we have every part of the Second Amendment. I'm not saying it's good, crazy, or I like plenty of good, crazy things. I'm not saying from a values assessment whether it is a good or a bad thing to put that, you know, put that in your constitution. I'm just saying, like, the way it's worded, the way it's been interpreted, being completely far from that. The sanest interpretation of the words they're saying defends owning weapons of war. Mm-hmm. Like, think about that. You know, a well-regulated militia being essential to the maintenance of the country, whatever it is, comma, the right to keep and bear arms must not be infringed. Like, what? That sounds like when you know someone's lying to you, they start with like all these subordinate clauses before they get to, and usually it makes sense. It's like, well, technically, if you need it in the future, if you're thinking about being in a militia, well, not even if you're thinking about it, because that's too much. But like, people need militias are neat, right? You love them. You got to regulate them though. But militias are neat. Don't regulate them. But they're militias and they're neat. And militias, as we all know, are like ways to do war, ways to like essentially fight back against tyrants, right? So. Comma, and because of that, no. In this way, relating to that, no. It's just like, so just everyone should have arms.
Yeah.
And they're right that that's in the Constitution. That's a tough one to overcome. But we've added and taken away amendments to our Constitution in the past.
The only thing that I would add to that is, I get what you're saying. They sort of add that in and it sounds like, well, we're trying to justify the later part. But like the last century or last 50 years history of the Second Amendment on the right is just pretending that the first part doesn't even exist. Like the justification doesn't exist because the justification also sort of adds an expectation that it has something to do with that. And they've been trying to deny that that is the case for decades.
This is from a group of people who hate regulations. The word regulated is in the amendment, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah, there's only like 16 words. Like the right should at least have to grapple with all of them occasionally. Don't often have a lot of cause to give credit to Republican senators, especially Senator John Kennedy, Republican, but I kind of have to. Look at this video.
Born free as the wind blows, as free as the grass grows. Born free to follow your heart. Live free and beauty surrounds you. The world still astounds you each time you look at a star. I'm Senator John Kennedy. I can't sing very well, but I'm free. Be free. Be cool. Get the vaccine. I did. It works.
That was terrible. And I'm very, like, I love doing that to the audience. But that said, he tweeted, live free, be cool, get the coronavirus vaccine. I did, it works. Now, is John Kennedy a thought leader on the right? I probably not, but if he was, I probably not the person to say. That said, we need Republicans to say that you should get the vaccine because we know white male Republicans like John Kennedy are literally the least likely out of any group to do so. So, Brett, does he deserve the credit I'm giving him? What do you think?
Yeah.
He told people to get the vaccine. Weird.
Yes, I love it. It's fine. It's viral marketing. John Kennedy is the weirdest person in Congress. And the reason he's so weird, he's like, you know, I'm just going to stumble bum around here. I'm be weird and pretend, take advantage of stereotypes that think that I'm a bumpkin. But I went to Oxford freaking University. I did. He went to Oxford, man. He's a scholar. And yeah, I intentionally take the dentures out before I talk so I can seem homespun. But no, he's been doing a Columbo act for 70 years. The old, like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then at the end, he's like, so, and he does those, it slips every so often. But this is fine. I'm glad that he's encouraging people to go get the vaccine. I'm 100% behind it. But it also at the end, it's like when he says, I'll get it. I just sang. My eyes are dead, so it doesn't even look like I'm in on the joke. Be cool.
He's joking, though. Look, especially he knows that his singing is bad. I like it. A little bit of self-deprecating. Obviously, I'm a fan of that. I don't like anything else about him. And even recently, he's been terrible. But that said, we do need people to tell people to get the vaccine. So that's good.
But this, John, this weird position that you end up in as a Republican politician. We're like, you have to, these are the vegetables that the Republican, the terrified, their problem child, the voters in the minds of their own politician, the voters are the problem child. And they have, and they're like this sick, at this point, they used to have it all figured out and the kid behaved and they were crazy kids, but they figured out how to really connect with them. But now the kids are so unhinged. And the babysitters are so terrified of them that the Republican politicians That song is the equivalent of a babysitter putting food on a fork and going, here we go, is the airplane exactly coming in the hangar? Meow, exactly get it. I sang you a song. There you go. Free as a boy.
In the hangar and let in the AstraZeneca.
There's no 5G. Let me blow on it. Getting all the 5G out. Microchip's gone.
He's free as a whiz. Yeah, so that's bad. Exactly what it is. Also, someone pointed out in the audience, this is why John doesn't like music. So, no, it's good. It's good. I want it. I want it. You need to understand, everyone watching this needs to understand, the only thing I care about right now is in September being able to go to Indianapolis for Gen Con. So, whatever makes that more likely is a good thing. So, if Kennedy wants to sing, or if Hugh Jackman wants to tweet Wolverine's healing ability can't save me from COVID, but the vaccine can, get it. I don't think that's actually canonical. I'm fairly certain that his healing factor would be able to conquer coronavirus. But anyway, I like it.
I sorted that out, John. I'm so glad that you sorted that out.
Let's get into an argument about it. But look, celebrities can do a lot of really unbearable things, but sometimes they are just trying to help, honestly. And like, I want everybody. Everybody's like sick of seeing like their friends with like the card and no, do it, do it. I want everyone involved in this. Because it just, I feel like, makes it more likely for more people to do it. So I'm not gonna down on anyone for that. Except if Ted Cruz had filmed that, this would be a different segment. We'll see if that ever happens. Senator Tom Cotton, who, boy, he's had some kind of year. He says that America has a problem. He has diagnosed what it is. The problem is we have a major under-incarceration problem in America, and it's getting worse. So in layman's terms, America of all places doesn't lock up enough people, which is weird when you think about it through the lens of the sane. Take a look at these numbers comparing us to other comparable countries in terms of total numbers of inmates per 100,000 people. There's basically nobody else that's close. It is just insane. And by the way, if you look at world incarceration rates, if every US state were a country, it's really high there too. Like many states way higher than entire countries. Now look, you can believe one of two things. You can believe that Americans are just uniquely criminal, despite all of our resources and all of that, or we do things differently in terms of criminalizing people and hunting them down and putting them behind bars and keeping them there for as long as possible. I personally think that one is a little bit more likely, but Brett, what do you think?
I think, yeah, I'm not, obviously the state breakdown is going to be, if it's per capita, state breakdown is going to be comparable. Arkansas is impressively ahead of the norm. If you're wondering which state is the policiest, but that's your boy Tom Cotton's hometown. We don't do enough.
So Brett, question: the people in Arkansas, maybe Arkansas represent. If you're in the YouTube or Twitch chat and you're in Arkansas right now, let us know. But put away the gun, you criminals, because apparently you are 30 times as criminal as Icelanders. Now I understand Icelanders don't have a lot of time to commit crimes. They're always like soaking in natural hot springs and all that. But I don't think that that's true. I don't think that they're 9 times more criminal than the French. I don't think that they're just about 9 times as criminal as those in UK. All those hooligans. It just obviously is not a supply thing. It's a demand thing, if you get where I'm going with that. But anyway, it is convenient for a Republican senator to imply that we need to be locking up more people, especially considering how they addressed the social movement of last year, the attempt to get our country focused on criminal justice reform, actually with the target of producing justice. Saying that no, we actually don't lock up enough people is convenient for some people.
Yeah, and so in criminal justice, if you want to have a serious conversation about it, there are different prosecuting, heads of prosecution, whether it be district attorneys or attorneys general or US attorney general, who make decisions like this all the time about how many folks to incarcerate. And there are a lot of conflicting approaches to it, many of which are dependent on what, there's a lot of conversation to be had about folks who are just chasing stats, so they're lowering the incarceration rates, folks that actually want to fund things that solve it, disingenuous politicians, genuine activists, money in politics, it all comes together, legacy of racism. But if you say legacy of racism, automatically Tom Cotton and his group are gonna be like, oh, it's always racist. It's like, here's stats about disproportionate incarceration rates. Stop it, you said racist. This is where I get to go, why is it always racist? Instead of defending myself and explaining why it's not racist, I just want to say, you're calling me racist too much. But it is, I will say he's right that there's been a spike in violent crime during coronavirus, right? And why has that happened? A bunch of reasons. A bunch of reasons about violent crime is, one, there's no money anywhere. We have essentially created a situation where, despite giving $1,400 every two, cycles of maybe when we need it, like way less than anyone needs it, we have essentially cut off the lower classes from everything in America. There's a lot of crazy stuff happening in the economy, but like below a certain level, you're on your own. So all the areas where the income is around there, there is no money. So what spikes? Robberies, gang violence. And then there's also, I mean, people are wearing masks. I've talked to people in law enforcement who said, well, people are wearing masks and they think they can get away with it. I was at a supermarket where people were wearing masks and stole stuff, because they knew they wouldn't get caught. Like, that's it. And what are we gonna do? Say not wear masks during a pandemic? We have to.
Don't put that out there, because they will start saying that. Specifically, we want people to not wear masks.
But the thing, what I'm trying to drive at is, there are serious conversations to have, honest, genuine conversations to be had that are reasonable, and where we can, cross-reference risk of one policy with risk of another policy, and come up with a series of policies that mitigate the most risks, while not like opening everyone up to dying of coronavirus. They just don't want to have that conversation. And that's what's so frustrating about stuff like this. And since it's Twitter and Tom Cotton just got done taxiderming a bunch of animals, which is what it seems like he probably does in his spare time, because he is Anthony Perkins in the movie Psycho. Like, this dude, it goes a little mad sometimes and writes tweets like, it's only getting worse. There's not enough people in jail. That's not the solution for the problem you're talking about.
Yeah. And it's also potentially the cause of another problem, because, it's bad in general to throw more people in prison. We have seen over the past year that at this particular time, lots of people being in prison is a particularly bad idea. It's the end of the week, and so it's time to take out the trash. I feel like at one point there was a sidebar to that. Anyway, political garbage. What do we got? Well, we're gonna get to the audience soon. I've got a great example, but Brett, who is your garbage person of the day?
My garbage person is someone that I'm pitches around throughout the week, and no one really wants to take the bait, but I'm not above anything. So Steven Crowder is my garbage person of the week. Steven Crowder, who tweeted, he louder with Crowder, because we know that things are funnier. Just, comedic ideas get better when you scream them. stop giving away the game, moron. Anyways, here's the tweet that he put out that I think a lot of people have been talking about. Today, I am going to test the theory and have my producer, doxed here, kneel on my neck for 9 minutes live on concrete. No tricks, no cuts. We need to walk a mile in another's shoes at 10 a.m. Eastern time.
I hate it already.
So, let me just explore the majesty of Crowder. So you're telling me we, in order to see whether that kills someone, we're gonna need to see a video of someone getting their neck knelt on for 9 minutes. I hate to break it to you, Steven, that already exists.
Yep.
We've seen it. Do we need, what are you trying to prove here? Because the only thing he's trying to prove is that he can do a stunt to get people to watch it. And when he did it, like, look at how it was done. We have photos of the thing. We're not playing a video of it, but here's a photo of it. That's not your neck. It's already like the guy is on his back. And, there is no guarantee. Like, we already have proof that this kind of thing can kill someone. And you, very obviously, not letting your producer kill you factors into the situation. It's the equation at some point. So it's just Steven Crowder, very obviously a garbage person. And folks are already like trying to take the Weasley way out. It's like, well, why are people calling him racist for this? It's like, well, I feel like we're missing, that's it. That's part of it, definitely. And see the rest of his entire body of work for that. Yeah. But here, do we really even need to go into the racist thing to find out like how ridiculously terrible this guy is? My answer is no.
Yeah, I would say, look, if your point is what's racist about this, I would say, look, good point. This is top five most racist videos he's put out in the past week, and not necessarily number one. He has done worse, but it's among the stupider things. Like, what does he think's gonna happen, or what are the people who are like taking it seriously and implying that this is a serious endeavor think is gonna happen? Like, the 9 minutes is gonna pass, and so George Floyd will come back to life because it turns out that doesn't kill you. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't accomplish anything. Even if you were to do it in a serious fashion, which he did not. Yes, like, I could have someone lay across the back of my calves. That too would not be the same thing. How like, brave I know of me to do that.
At Current TV, we had this guy, Kaj Larson, who was a Navy SEAL. And part of that, you get waterboarded. But people had just heard about waterboarding and never seen it demonstrated. So he got waterboarded on camera to show you how terrible the practice is. That is a demonstration of something I don't already have the ocular proof of, buddy.
Exactly. Yeah, it would be like somebody getting shot and dying on video. And you say, well, I'll get shot somewhere. And if I don't die, it doesn't kill. No, none of that makes any sense. None of it makes any sense. I'm sure he thought it was either deep or funny. He tries to do both, never hits with either of them. But the audience has very low standards. So I'm sure he made a ton of money from producing that absolute garbage. But a very good garbage person, Brett. Thank you. An admirable one. For my garbage person of the week, I've got the garbage thing of the week is my toner cartridge, which is rapidly running out. But I've got Joe Manchin. Get ready to see a lot of him this year. He is absolute garbage for multiple reasons. Stuff that we've covered throughout this week, his backtracking after being a tease about reforming or eliminating the filibuster, all of that would be enough for him to end up in the can. But his argument for one of the reasons why he supposedly changed recently is garbage for multiple reasons. But first, here is what he had to say.
Change me, and I was very clear with everybody. I never thought in my life, I never read in history books to where our form of government had been attacked at our seat of government, which is Washington, D.C., at our capital, by our own people. Now, the British did it, but not Americans. So something told me, wait a minute, pause, hit the pause button. Something's wrong. You can't have this many people split to where they want to go to war with each other.
Okay, so there's two different ways that we can go about this, Brett. Whether he thinks he's being honest or not, I would argue in both cases that is absolute garbage. So he's saying, what happened on the 6th affected me very deeply, and so I have changed, and thus now I believe more than ever before we need bipartisanship, and the Democrats shouldn't just do whatever they want to do, regardless of whether it's popular, you know, out there, and even Republicans, voters support it and all that. I believe that's garbage because this isn't a change. This isn't new. This is what he's been saying. So trying to take your previous position and saying it is the effect now of this traumatic experience seems wildly disingenuous. But even if he thought that that was honest, what garbage that is anyway. So we had an election over these issues that the Democrats won. The Republicans throw a massive hissy fit, try to overthrow the elections for months in court cases, in the Senate and in the House, and then attacking the House itself. And so that thus, because they did that, the Democrats shouldn't accomplish anything. So if the Republicans win the election, the Republicans get what they want, which is the government doing nothing. If the Republicans lose the election, the Republicans get what they want, which is the government doing nothing. That is a convenient setup if you are a Republican or a Democrat who doesn't believe the government should be doing anything. And he'll cloak it in a bunch of, we need bipartisanship, but we've already adjudicated this 100 times. That is not at all what any Republican senator actually wants. They're not looking for a bill that is like including them as part of the process. That's it. They want 2 years of Democrats accomplishing nothing, so they will fail and the Republicans will take back over again. And whether he is being genuine here or lying, both of those should put you in the garbage can.
Yeah, his argument is, this has changed me, which is why my position remains the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know. And he is like one of the most powerful people in the country right now.
But all of that, that's his MO, by the way. Yeah, 100%, it is it. He also is saying like, I speak for it's not just me saying this, it's like 7 or 8 others. And I'm not gonna say who they are, even though That's conveniently the same number of people as voted with you against the minimum wage amendment. So I feel like I know who those hateful eight are, but that's frustrating. And then this is everything. He's like, I'm really for the people. I really care. So and okay, great. It's like the Second Amendment. It's like you got a preamble, but your conclusion is not really related to it. You got here's all the things that I care about. Being a strong income being important to everybody. We shouldn't do a corporate tax increase.
Exactly.
You know, just my people being most important thing in West Virginia. I care about them so much. I'll let them die of pollution. I love them. I care about them so much. I'm not going to give them more money in their as minimum wage.
Exactly.
Those you should have something that connects, but it doesn't.
Exactly. Ever. I agree. Well, Brett, we now go to our community garbage person of the week, and then we got to close things out because we have just seconds left in this. But you had a good one. I believe mine was fairly indisputable. A lot of people made the case that Matt Gaetz should probably have been the garbage person, but sometimes the news is just so big we kind of have to do it at the top of the show. So that's sort of how that works. Behind the scenes information for you. But anyway, the community garbage person of the week coming in at number 5 with 3% of the vote, the NRCC for threatening supporters who don't donate. That was a great story. And number 4 with 9% of the vote, Jeff Bezos for Amazon's union busting efforts. Really just number 4. Coming in at number 3 with 10% of the vote, Tucker Carlson for his January 6th revisionism. That was brutal. Number 2, Joe Manchin at 23% of the vote for declaring he will never change the filibuster, which leaves with a majority of the vote, 54%. And our number 1 community garbage person of the week, Matt Gaetz for being a certified creep and probable criminal. I think that is fairly indisputable considering the week we've had. So thank you to everybody who voted, 25,000 of you. Thank you very much for that. And Brett, thank you for joining us today on the program. Very glad to have you on as always.
Thank you. It was me the whole time. Like it was me, John, the whole time. I know you're like Superman, John Iadarola, Superman, John Iadarola.
Hi, Brett.
Because you know, Brett's everybody. Muscles are so much bigger than John.
Thank you, everybody. Okay, I like where that ended, but I didn't like most of it. Okay, thank you, Brett. You're the best.
Hey, John, one thing I did want to share with everybody.
We have seconds to go.
Look at that.
You got shot?
No, I just got a new Band-Aid. I'm showing off my new Band-Aid. It's got Mickey Mouse on it. Did this joke landed? Boom, joke landed. Move on.
Kind of feeding Bannon on Skype.
Anyway, it's just a really tough time for people who get cool Band-Aids and want to show them off. That everyone else on Instagram is going to think that you're like got vaccinated.
Oh, cuts off at the 15 minute mark, Brett.
We're over. I don't even think anybody's seeing this. Okay, anyway, thank you everybody for joining us for the show. I'm going to be joining Cenk Uygur and Helen Hong for the first hour of the Young Turks later on. And until then, stay safe out there, stay sane out there, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Iadarola. I'll see you soon.